Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 23rd of June, the 174th day of 2025, with 191 days ahead of us on our way to 2026. This past Friday evening brought us the summer solstice and the most daylight of 2025. Along with our Earth's maximum 23-degree tilt of its axis, from now until the winter solstice, about 6 months from now, the amount of daylight in the northern hemisphere will gradually decrease, though during the coming days and weeks, we can count on that transition being rather subtle, since from now until the middle of summer on August 6th, we'll only be losing about 56 minutes of daylight. In his poem Summer Stars, Carl Sandburg considers the proximity and the sound of the night sky. Bend low again, night of summer stars, so near you are, sky of summer stars, so near a long-armed man can pick off stars, pick off what he wants in the sky bowl, so near you are, summer stars, so near, strumming, strumming, so lazy and hum-strumming. In our own ongoing poem, my girlfriend and I often arrive at decisions spontaneously, or at least what we like to think is an efficient use of time. A look to our garden out back says, "Let it be. These phases are becoming comfortable with one another, the lupins and buttercups giving way to purple asters and evening primroses, while in the background against the south wall of the living room, the hollyhocks are making their stately climb. The bees and the hummingbirds appear to be happy with the variety of flowers, especially since the beauty bush appears destined to have another fortnight of burgeoning blooms. Out front on the north side, our ostrich ferns are fuller than they've ever been, testimony to this year's weather, we wonder. We are grateful for these easy comforts and casually weigh them against the diligent labor of previous years, when we cultivated the same 20-foot by 30-foot plot to yield a couple of dozen different crops. This year, however, our struggles have involved other venues, ones associated with employment and health, as we witness the former change callously and the latter subsist perilously. As with some news a friend brought this past week regarding a young researcher who had been making considerable progress in developing reliably accurate testing for tick-borne diseases, but her federal funding was abruptly pulled, forcing her to lay off staff and continue mostly by herself. Hence the simple joy of pausing a moment to appreciate the positives, as in Rita Dove's poem, Flirtation. After all, there's no need to say anything at first. An orange, peeled and quartered, flares like a tulip on a Wedgwood plate. Anything can happen. Outside, the sun has rolled up her rugs and night-strewn salt across the sky. My heart is humming a tune I haven't heard in years. Quiet's cool flesh. Let's sniff and eat it. There are ways to make of the moment a topiary, so the pleasure's in walking through. Heavenward tomorrow, shortly after sunset in the northwestern sky, the constellation Gemini's twin stars Castor and Pollux will form a line with the planet Mercury. And on Wednesday night before dawn, our new moon will rise. By Thursday and Friday in the northwest sky, shortly after sunset, our waxing crescent moon will hang above the western horizon between Mercury and Pollux, with Castor nearby. Today at 9:30, the world's oldest parliament, the Icelandic parliament, known as the Althing, was established. Today in 1314, the Battle of Bannockburn began, whereby the Scots defeated the English, with the Scots regaining their independence and establishing Robert the Bruce as Robert the First. Today in 1810, John Jacob Astor organized the Pacific Fur Company in Astoria, Oregon. Today in 1819, Washington Irving released the first edition of his short story, Rip Van Winkle. Today in 1868, Christopher Latham Sholes patented the first commercially successful typewriter, the Glidden and Sholes. Today in 1888, Frederick Douglass became the first African-American to be nominated for U.S. Vice President. Today in 1931, American pilot Wiley Post and his Australian navigator Harold Gatty began their successful 8-day aerial circumnavigation of the world. Today in 1944, German novelist Thomas Mann became a U.S. citizen. Today in 1949, the first 12 women graduated from Harvard Medical School. Today in 1960, the first contraceptive pill became available for purchase in the U.S. Today in 1961, the Antarctic Treaty was enacted, reserving the entire continent for free and non-political scientific investigation. Today in 1957, in Gibson City, Illinois, Cynthia Ann Smith was born, and at 1.5 years of age was adopted by nurse Noreen Nickerson and Disciples of Christ pastor Vernon McDormand, and renamed Frances Louise McDormand. Frances's adoptive father specialized in restoring congregations in several small towns of Illinois, Georgia, Kentucky, and Tennessee, so the family moved frequently before settling in Monessen, Pennsylvania, where Frances graduated from high school in 1975, subsequently attending Bethany College in West Virginia, and 4 years later earning a Bachelor of Arts in theater. By 1982, she had earned a Master of Fine Arts from Yale School of Drama and been a roommate of Holly Hunter's in the Bronx. After initial theater work, Frances's film debut came in 1984's Blood Simple, the first production by her husband Joel Cohen and brother-in-law Ethan Cohen. Other early roles included that of eccentric friend Dot in 1987's Raising Arizona, starring Nicolas Cage and her former roommate Holly Hunter. Following other interim television and film roles, worldwide recognition came in the 1996 with her Oscar-winning role as pregnant police chief Marge Gunderson in the Coen brothers' Fargo, which film critic Roger Ebert called one of the best films I've ever seen. Several years later, Ebert would also say, In almost all of her roles, McDormand embodies an immediate, present, physical, functioning, living, breathing person as well as any actor ever has, and she plays radically different roles as easily as she walks. How she does it is a mystery, but she does, reinventing herself, role after role. McDormand is ascendant. To date, Frances has won 2 more Best Actress Oscars, one for 2017's 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and the other for 2020's Nomadland, along with an assortment of BAFTA, Golden Globe, Primetime Emmy, and Screen Actors Guild Awards, plus a Tony Award. She became the first person in history to win Academy Awards both as producer and performer in the same film, namely Nomadland. Today is also the birthday in 1534 of the Japanese warlord who unified most of Japan, Oda Nobunaga. In 1763, of Josephine de Beauharnais, first wife of Napoleon. In 1859, of the French industrialist who founded Michelin, Edouard Michelin. In 1894, of the British king who abdicated for love, Edward VIII. And of American entomologist and sexologist, Alfred Kinsey. In 1910, of American jazz bassist Milt Hinton. In 1913, of American jazz and blues singer Helen Humes. In 1927, of American choreographer Bob Fosse. In 1929, of American country singer-songwriter June Carter Cash. In 1930, of Brazilian samba and jazz singer Elza Suarez. In 1937, of American guitarist Nicky Sullivan and of American computer engineer and father of the IBM PC, Don Estridge. In 1940, of American Olympic runner Wilma Rudolph. In 1941, of American singer-songwriter Robert Hunter. In 1944, of American pop singer Rosetta Hightower. In 1945, of American rock bassist Paul Goddard. In 1948, of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and of American lawyer and civil rights champion Joaquin Avila. In 1952, of American jazz and rhythm and bass bassist Anthony Jackson. In 1954, of Lakota flute player and storyteller Kevin Locke, in 1972 of American actress Selma Blair, and in 1984 of Welsh singer Aimée Anne Duffy. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this first full week of summer and the 26th week of 2025.